The internet has enabled every business to become its own media company. But if they're going to develop their own audiences, like any media would, they're going to need a regular flow of content and a lot of it. In this episode, we explore the mystery of content marketing and how a lot of businesses need help figuring it all out.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Basis Technologies, the industry's most trusted partner for building out in-house programmatic capabilities, and Spectrio, the leader in comprehensive digital signage solutions and on-site customer engagement technology. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I am Corey Elliott, and that man seated over there is the one and only Gordon Burrell. Howdy, Gordon.
Howdy. Happy New Year to everybody. Great to be in 2023, although we have no idea what it's going to bring.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, no.
I think, look at it all, cuts at the end of 2022. Lots of layoffs, lots of cutbacks, lots of, you know, birds flying out of trees, going someplace else, going, oh my gosh, this is not looking good. You know, but I don't know, Corey. I think it's going to turn out to be, maybe it's the optimist in me, a good year.
Maybe it's the optimist in you, as opposed to me, which everything is going to come crashing down.
That's why we make a good team. And this week we're talking about, I think, you know, one of those phenomena, you call it mystery, that I think businesses are probably going to rely on a bit more. Just a little conjecture here, Corey.
Okay.
Because if they're going to cut back on advertising, they're going to try to find ways to continue to market themselves, which might mean, you know, increase posts, which are free unless you boost them, you know, in social media, and maybe testing out TikTok or writing a blog or things like that, which are all what we used to call, I guess, native advertising in some sense, but now overall, you know, branded content. Content marketing.
It's always been popular, but for local advertisers, they really discovered it or rediscovered it in 2020 when they had to tell their story as the pandemic unfolded and they had to get their message out about, you know, what their business was doing. And through those last couple of years, they really discovered that content marketing can actually drive revenue. They've connected those dots.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the really interesting things was a report I think you had done about 2 years ago when we were looking at content marketing was this chart that showed all the different types of content marketing. And it opened my eyes. And maybe we should post this on our LinkedIn group, the local advertising and marketing group. Yeah. So if you're on LinkedIn, you can go to that group and request to join. If you're not already on, it's local advertising and marketing trends, I think it is. So the chart, and we'll post it up there, shows things like, okay, what do you think of as content marketing? Well, how about the podcast? How about YouTube, you know, a how-to video, an infographic that you post on Pinterest? How about eBooks? You know, and the other things on, but it shows on a continuum, you know, whether it's owned or bought, you know, and it's sort of the difference between the two and where each one of those falls, or whether on the x-axis, more subtle or more pronounced prevalence of the brand. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because content marketing, and we called it in this paper, marketing with content, because as soon as you say content marketing, people already have ideas. So we had to come up with a new title, right? Yeah. So marketing with content, and then you can, those are the two axes, and wherever it falls, whether the brand is a little bit more in your face, or whether it's on bought media or owned media, that's the other axes.
Yeah, we'll give a plug to the branded content project. And I think we've had Julia Campbell, the general manager of that, on the show before, but they're doing some great things and providing some really cool insights into that. They've had over 800 folks participating in the program over the past several years, more than 200 media companies. I'm reading from their list of things, over 100 industry events on it. So it's a great resource for it. And in 2023, they've got some new sales boot camps coming and expanded case studies, individual and team training. So if you need some help in that area, lots of companies that can help you. This is a part of the Local Media Association, Local Media Consortium. But it's a good resource. Just Google the Branded Content Project or Julia Campbell. Connect with her on LinkedIn.
Speaking of companies that can help you with content marketing, what a segue, huh?
Yeah, I'm just so excited because, you know, content marketing, it's all kind of come together here, Corey. The most popular feature or page, I guess, of our website is not the home page anymore. It's these charts of the week that we do twice a year, and there are 10 weeks of these charts. We pick one chart and we push it out, mm-hmm. and it's an insight from your local advertiser survey that we do. And you know, that's content marketing when you think about it. It's content marketing for us. People love those charts. They use them in their presentations, but it's sponsored now by a content marketing company, Rev Content. You know, and those guys are just great. They're doing something that we used to do just in writing. They said, hey, can we do like a video analysis of it? So they do a 1-minute video analysis of each chart.
Yeah,
it's really cool. And they do a really good job with it. So you just go to BurrellAssociates.com and look for insights or chart of the week, or just Google Burrell chart of the week and you'll see it there. But we've got coming up in a minute an interview with Richard Marquez, who's the CEO of Rev Content. And we'll have that right after this.
At Basis Technologies, we partner with media companies to drive revenue by providing enterprise-level software and service across programmatic, site direct, search, social, and CTV. Through the power of workflow automation plus world-class support, Basis can help your team scale effectively and efficiently. Ready to get more from your ad tech? Just go to basis.net today. That's www.basis.net.
Spectrio is a leading provider of comprehensive digital signage solutions that empowers clients to transform their business locations into modern, dynamic destinations for customers and employees. Headquartered in Tampa, Florida, and founded in 2002, Spectrio serves over 150,000 franchise and enterprise locations in multiple industries, including quick-serve restaurants, automotive, healthcare, and financial services.
Okay, I've got with me Richard Marquez, the CEO of Rev Content. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Gordon. It's great to be here.
I want to talk about Rev Content in a moment, but I also just wanted to start by thanking you guys for sponsoring our charts of the week. We've had, I think, 3 or 4 of them so far and several more going into this new year. What are some of the insights you've gained, some things that have stuck out in the first few charts that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I'm going to start by saying we're really happy to be part of this. Local is something that really, really matters a lot to us. You know, one of the unique things about Rev Content is we are headquartered in Sarasota, Florida. So, you know, being not part of the very big city sort of vibe is something that I think helps us understand what it's like to be on the other side of the table for a lot of the local media companies that we work with. So when this opportunity came across my desk, I was pretty excited about it. I'm glad it worked out. Now, to your question about kind of the insights, there's one that I just haven't been able to get out of my head. I think it was last week's, the what percentage of gross revenue goes to advertising chart. You know, that number coming in under 5% was really surprising. And I don't know if it's surprising in a negative way or a positive way, but I look at it kind of twofold here. Local business is sort of a really broad data set, admittedly, but that number being so low tells me that either A, there's an opportunity for somebody to solve a problem in market, if I'm assuming that the reason it's so low is a learning curve, lack of understanding, or even just a lack of resources to effectively do advertising because it can be so complex. So there's an opportunity for somebody in market, whether that's Rev Content, one of our peers, whoever, to kind of ease the bottleneck, minimizing the friction to make it easier to kind of spend money on advertising and grow your business.
The chart you're referring to was on the 15th of December for those who hadn't seen it. And it said from our survey of about 2,000 advertisers taken in the fall, 4.6%, that was the average of total gross revenues, is what they spent on advertising. And the other thing, Richard, in there, it showed that 72% spend less than 3%. So the guys at the other end, that 10% that's spending 10% or more, you know, really was driving that figure up. So it's probably a lot lower than you think.
Yeah. And what I would be really curious to know, I'll just make some assumptions here, but is this a product of low budgets for advertising, lack of understanding of kind of the subject matter at hand here, or just the lack of human capital to oversee it? You know, local business owners are spread very thin and kind of pulled in a lot of different directions. But in today's world, if you don't have the luxury of for example, being a brick and mortar on a very, very busy street with a lot of pedestrian traffic, so you get people coming in and out of it, how do you educate the general sort of audience about your existence and what your value proposition is, or why you can make people's lives better, save the money, whatever it is? And I was just really surprised by the 4.6%.
Yeah.
I keep staring at this chart.
Well, it's a lot lower than that. And I'll tell you what it is. It was, I guess, crystallized for me in a conference we had, gosh, long time ago, maybe 15 years ago or so. And there was a panel of advertisers. And I was actually leaving the room at the time this comment was made. I just kind of heard it, and it sort of pulled me back. Somebody asked on the moderator asked, how much do you spend on advertising? And the guy said, I don't care. This is an advertiser. I don't care what any of you salespeople try to tell me. Advertising is an expense. It's not an investment. I thought, well, there's the problem. So they view it as an expense, which means that when you get them to spend more, it's speculation. It's not, oh, it's a sure thing. I'm going to put down this $50,000. I'm going to get a car. No, you're going to put $50,000 down and you're going to pray. For a while, you know, the business that you got the marketing right, you got the marketing mix right, the message is correct, and things like that. So I'm glad you picked that one, because that is an interesting chart. Now, I got to tell you a nuance of that chart, and I want to move on to a couple other questions for you. A nuance of that chart is, if you look at all businesses across the entire country in terms of their tax returns, what you find is that the average of a smaller business or a local business, one with fewer than 100 employees, spends less than 2%. That's the average. The reason our percentage is 4.6 is we don't survey every business. We survey those who are actively advertising. So the number is higher because it's driven down by the vast majority. And I mean the vast majority, 60, 70% of businesses that do not spend a dime. So let's talk about Rev Content. And, you know, one of the ingenious things I got to credit you with, Richard, is that what you did was just really help with us, Borrell Associates, with content marketing. And that's what this is. We are marketing, you know, ourselves and Rev Content as well with all of this content that we have from the survey, which really is just a byproduct of what we need to do to develop our core business. So tell us about Rev Content, the company itself, what you guys do, who your clients are, et cetera.
Yeah, we are a content marketing / native advertising platform. So effectively, we have two core partners. We work with publishers. So these are website owners that host our technology on their website. And every time someone goes to the site and reads an article, we display a set of paid pieces of content from the other audience of our business, which is advertisers. These are people that sign up for Rev Content accounts. They load a credit card in, and then you can target by zip code, operating system, device, language, country, site, et cetera, with the hope being, or the idea being, our algorithms will optimize creative selection to show the best set of articles to a user in real time on a publisher site. And then we share that revenue with these publishers over time. It's a very, very scalable business. We're kind of a sub-niche of the digital advertising industry, and we've been around since 2013.
What do you see are the biggest mistakes that companies make when they jump into native advertising or content marketing?
Yeah, so I think at face value, when people come into our space, they group what we do into a broader bucket of just quote-unquote digital advertising. So that would be social, search, display, native / content marketing, and people say, hey, I want to do digital advertising. Well, the real truth is that the strategy, whether that comes to the media buying itself or the actual content, is very different for social channels, display channels, content marketing channels, etc. And if your collateral and the funnel you drive a user to isn't customized per channel, you're really, really going to be kind of lighting money on fire quickly. And it's a painful lesson for people to learn. And if also, I think a lot of people come in and think, let me just do a quick test here and spend a couple hundred or a couple thousand dollars. And then they just judge whatever happened from that tiny, tiny data set. And the ceiling is very, very low on how successful they can be.
One of the things we're looking at is a vast growth of new businesses that have been started since the pandemic, and how that may change the face of advertising. We're talking of millions and millions of businesses that have high propensity, according to the government. And that means they're highly likely to succeed and grow. But do you think these younger businesses should jump into content marketing when they may not have as much experience or much of a story to tell?
I honestly wouldn't recommend jumping right into content marketing until you have an authentic story to tell, because at its core, it's called content, you know, bold, all caps, underlined, content marketing. And without that content, it's dust in the wind and it's a lot of noise. And within the native content marketing space, the actual advertiser funnels themselves will be a lot of sort of listicles. They'll feel like a blog, long form video, real storytelling here, not something more traditional like click this thing and save this amount of money. All you need is to give us like your email address or your zip code. And that takes a long time to build meaningful, authentic content experiences and relationships with audiences.
So if you look at the content that people are accessing today, it just seems like, yeah, there's a lot of news pages and official sites, I guess you'd call them. But there's also a lot of activity on things like Instagram and Facebook and now TikTok, other social media sites, Reddit, et cetera. Are they the best content marketing platforms? Because they just kind of seem to be. Are you finding maybe some other type of print or long form video being better content platforms?
Yeah, video has been the hot topic du jour, especially with what TikTok has kind of pulled off, just drawing in insane levels of engagement compared to more traditional, and I mean, I guess modern traditional video platforms like something like Netflix. But social is kind of the golden goose of scale. They have virtually limitless audiences. And then within those audiences, you mentioned Reddit, for example, you can find the most niche subsets of individuals in these little communities about, I don't know, people that are headphone enthusiasts, or they love, I don't know, fidget toys or something. I'm just looking at things on my desk. And that's a lot harder to replicate outside of social platforms. But when you kind of look at it from a more sort of paid acquisition lens, there's a lot of downside, especially nowadays with the demise of the third-party cookie, what Apple has done when it comes to app tracking, transparency. Most users aren't opting into that. And it means the prices are a lot higher to acquire those audiences. And the performance is lower as well, because what was previously extremely granular levels of behavioral targeting is now not that. And it's giving other platforms a lot more oxygen and non-social channels a lot more oxygen, because marketers and media buyers just have to pay attention and find alternative means to acquire users. So my summary there is, if you are going to kind of jump into paid acquisition, you really have to quantify what your comfort level is for that investment. And I would recommend a diverse set of testing that you can collect data and then begin to iterate off of. You know, confirmation bias and saying, I want to do social because it's social, that's great. But there are a lot of other users in different sort of corners of the internet that you also need to be going after, and let the data tell you what you should be doing.
Yeah, it seems like could be a confusing world. It could be a world where content marketing, where you could make some mistakes. It's best that you hook up somebody with somebody or a company that really knows what they're doing. That's why you're in the right place at the right time, Richard. Could you tell folks how to get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with Rev Content?
Yeah, sure. You can go to revcontent.com, and everything that you need to know about us lives right on that website. You can sign up for an account there. Or if you're, you know, interested in talking to me, I'm really easy to get a hold of, richard@revcontent.com. Let's set up a call and chat, and I'll put you in touch with the right people depending on what your goals are.
Excellent. Richard, thanks very much for being on the show. Appreciate it. And good luck in 2023.
Hey, you as well. I'll see you in Miami.
I thought there was kind of a funny moment in the beginning of that interview, Gordon, and it's when he said he was surprised at the percentage of gross revenue that it's dedicated to advertising.
Why is that?
Because he was like, yeah, I'm surprised at that. And you said, I know. He said, I thought it would be a lot higher. And you said, yeah, it's probably a lot lower.
Yeah,
you guys went off in two different directions.
Well, it is true, because a lot of businesses, as you know, don't spend any money on advertising. And what do? Corey, they do content marketing, you know,
yeah.
or you know, one-on-one, you know, word of mouth, which I guess is content marketing and to some sort.
And we discovered that through our local advertiser survey that there's a difference between bought and used, right? Once we learned that and got past that, we have some results from our latest local advertiser survey that we just closed a little month or
so. Back in November, yeah.
Yeah. And I can share with you that the respondents said they spend, those who do content marketing or pay for it, $8,500 a year. About 17% of the participants in the survey said they bought content marketing, and the interest is actually going up. About 1 out of 5 said they are interested in buying it in the next year. And as far as effectiveness goes, they think it's pretty effective. I think it was about 34% of them said it's very or extremely effective.
Yeah. And part of what media companies do is, because they are media companies and ad agencies, is they have skills in developing this content, which the local businesses don't. So there's a great, you know, intermediary, or I guess relationship, between somebody like a Rev Content, which helps get a lot of exposure for it, helps manage the process, knows a lot about content marketing. The media companies themselves, which know a lot about content, they know how to write a sexy headline, right, to get people's attention, or, you know, craft a story. It's really a lot about storytelling. And then the advertisers themselves, which don't have any of those skills. They don't know distribution. They don't know, you know, particularly right storytelling and things like that. So it's a great, great relationship. The Branded Content Project I mentioned earlier in the show had a couple of examples of successes for media companies at the Seattle Medium. Chris Bennett, who's the CEO, said they had gotten over half a million dollars in revenue, which is a lot of money for them. And they said it's a lifeline for their business, small organization. And then there's Martin Alfaro, who's GM of the Aldea News, who said that the branded content work that they were doing doubled their revenue, and made us more confident about offering this strategy going forward. So, you know, those two guys, by the way, are going to be at our conference. They're going to speak on this at our conference in Miami coming up in a couple of months in March.
Both of them will be there. Is that what you're saying?
Both of them will be there, as will Julia Campbell.
Wow, cool. So, well,
and we got somebody from TikTok coming. There's another sort of content marketing platform.
You know, Gordon, I might show up to this one.
Yeah, well, that would be good, since you're speaking. You're the keynote guy on the second day. You damn well better be there.
Well, that's coming up here in a couple of months in old 2023. Hey, speaking of 2023, since it's the new year, what about some predictions?
You mean like everybody else did back in December?
Yeah, basically. Like, so 2023 will be the year of nebulous gloom.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Huh? Yeah, I absolutely agree with that one. Okay. How about 2023 will be the year of Burrell's big annual conference in March? Bam. There you go. It's going to come true.
Yeah, I knew you couldn't resist getting a plug in.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Spectrio and by Basis Technologies. If you have submissions or ideas for future shows, or if you'd like to be a guest, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.